Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Got through on the field. He's got through. 35-30.
Broken intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
Welcome in to Big Blue Kickoff Live. Anita Marks and David Deal. What does that mean? It is Wednesday.
Wednesday.
That's right. We're coming to you live from the Giants facility in a very happy Giants facility. At that, of course, they take care of the Buffalo Bills 24-10. First and foremost, what did you take away from that game?
Well, how different of a week does it change everything?
It does.
Obviously, it was a huge win for the New York Giants to go on the road to face a good football team in a hostile environment and to come away with a win. But more importantly, it's how they came away with the win. On the offensive side of the ball, the offensive line providing enough protection for Eli Manning to be able to march down the field and be precise with his passes, the running game being effective. On the defensive side of the ball, coming up late in the game with a third down stop, a fourth down stop, creating a late turnover. And I said it in the press conference show, you never want to let history repeat itself. And the New York Giants and the defense especially found a way to close the football game and finish with the confidence that they needed to win. So it was a huge win to overcome the odds of going on the road, having all the different things that have happened this season. But the biggest factor moving forward here is now they have got to ratchet up the intensity this week in practice, because it's easy to get excited when you know you're facing one of the top five defenses, you know you're going on the road, you know all everything is against you, you're the underdog. But it's very simple to just ease up that little bit when you continue to hear all the struggles that the San Francisco 49ers are having, all the issues that they're having on the offensive side of the ball. Colin Kaepernick is not playing well. It's easy to let those distractions seep in if you don't make sure you're disciplined and understand how important this football game is for this football team and how last year the 49ers were able to steal one here when it looked like the Giants had a game taken from them.
Yeah, you obviously don't want last year to be a Groundhog's Day, for the Giants. But there, and I understand what you're saying. It's interesting because there are so many issues with that 49ers football team. I mean, they just sitting at 1-3. Granted, but when you look at 1-3, look at the teams that they've lost to: Pittsburgh, the Cardinals, and the Packers. Those are very good football teams. Keep in mind, Pittsburgh still had Ben Roethlisberger as their starting quarterback, of course, when they lost to him in week two. They did beat the Minnesota Vikings on that opening night, which was quite surprising. They've played four very solid football teams. So I kind of feel like, do we really know the makeup of this 49ers team? Do we really, you know, because they've played such great competition right off the bat, and this is something that you and I have been talking about for four weeks now.
Yep.
Because of the collective bargaining agreement, because there's so few times for practice, there's no more two-a-days going live. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that's a big reason. Do you know there were 13 missed kicks this past week?
Yeah.
Why do you think that is? I'm going to tell you why, because I had a lengthy conversation with Mike Westhoff. He talked my ear off yesterday. And this is what it is that the new collective bargaining agreement, you're only allowed so many practice, you're only allowed so much time to practice, so special teams doesn't get any love. There's no, like, real live field goal kicking situations that are happening at practice. So especially now that they've moved the kick back.
It's not a chip shot.
It's not.
No.
It's like a real field goal each and every time you're trying to go for that extra point. But anyway, I know I've derailed here. My whole point is, you know, I really don't think that teams have created an identity. I don't think that we really have a good grip or grasp of teams until now.
I think it is. Now this is week five. You already have your first four games. Teams are starting to form their identity if they haven't already. But this is where you can get a step ahead because there are no surprises, because there are four games that you can break down the ins and outs, what type of defense that they are, what type of offense are they, the strengths, the weaknesses. But even having said all of that, you know that when you have a team coming in off of a tough loss on the road on Sunday Night Football, anything can happen. And in regards to Colin Kaepernick and his struggles, they played more conservative against the Green Bay Packers, which led to 6 sacks instead of the 4 interceptions he had the week before. And he struggled against the blitz. But we all know, what is Colin Kaepernick's strength? His legs. So it wouldn't be a surprise to me in this game coming up on Sunday Night Football with a little bit of extra time to prepare that they go back and they find a way for Colin Kaepernick to use his legs in this game to set up the run game and the passing game. Because with the struggles that they've had, you instinctively go back to who you are as a player and the strengths of a player. And the biggest strength of Colin Kaepernick is are his legs, his ability to make plays outside of the pocket when things break down, to be able to run the football with it. But if you can get him in that zone read and the different option looks that he has thrived on in the past, I think that they're going to use some of that this week in order to open up everything. And that is something that the Giants did a great job last week against Tyrod Taylor of containing him. But we've got a different animal coming in that is more dangerous with the football in his hand than him.
David Deal, Anita Marks, of course, and you, Big Blue Kickoff Live, every Wednesday we're here with you from noon to 1. 201-939-4513 is the phone number. That's how you get in. Also monitoring Twitter. If you want to hit us up with a tweet, please feel free to do so. Hashtag Giants Chat. Head coach Tom Coughlin spoke to the media prior to us launching this show this afternoon. A few things Tom Coughlin said, and I know that you hosted the MSG press conference live show, so you're very well aware of what he said, that the 49ers have a good offensive line, very physical offensive line. They run the ball well, even though they did not have success against the Green Bay Packers last week. Carlos Hyde, I love Tom Coughlin said he's legit. He's legitimate.
Legit.
He is legit. Good linebacking core. They just picked up Gerald Hodges.
Yep.
Also, Kaepernick, he complimented him, said that he's strong, he's fast, he can run, he can pass the ball. But keep in mind, I mean, you know, you got he's working with a tight end who is just – it's crazy to me. I mean, is Vernon Davis even in the NFL anymore? Like, I feel like overnight – David, he just disappeared.
You know what? He's had
like,
some.
Poof.
I know.
Vernon Davis was gone.
Well, he's had some injuries these past 2 seasons. But also, what else has gone poof? The 49ers offense the last 2 seasons. So I think it's more of a product of the overall environment than it is just of Vernon Davis being injured.
But
even
such
having.
A big part.
Oh, yeah. And that's where I think him sitting out last week and coming into this game is very important for the New York Giants. And we'll have to see what happens with Devin Kennard and his injury with his hamstring, because throughout the preseason and the regular season, that is the one position that the Giants have struggled to cover, the tight end position. Yes, last week Kennard had a big interception on Clay, but Clay was also productive throughout the game. Vernon Davis is a much better athlete than Clay, and he can stretch the field. You could split him out and put him in the slot. He can run vertical routes. He creates that one-on-one matchup that lets Torrey Smith and Anquan Boldin open up things. So having him come back into this game is important for the 49ers offense to function, but it's going to be important for the Giants defense to make sure the shallow crossing routes, the easy, quick-hit plays that Colin Kaepernick can dump off to those players, have to be minimized as much as possible. Because we've seen when Colin Kaepernick is in the third and longs, that's where he struggles. That's where he throws across the middle off the back of his foot. He makes late reads, and that's where he throws those interceptions. The times where Colin Kaepernick is at his best is when he does have the quick hits, where he can dump it off to the quarterback, to the tight end or to the running back to open up things up, to widen out the defense, especially the defensive line for the New York Giants, who played sound, fundamental football against the Buffalo Bills. Strong gap control inside. They played discipline outside on the edges at defensive end. So they forced all of the runs right inside to Cullen Jenkins and Hankins. That's going to be huge this week, especially the discipline of the defensive ends in this zone read, because I do feel that they're going to let Colin Kaepernick run more than they have in the past.
So you don't agree with Clay Matthews when he whispered to
Sweet Nothings? No, I mean,
you ain't Russell Wilson, bro.
No,
you ain't Russell Wilson, bro.
I know. You're going to hear those whispers, and it also helps that they shut down the run early. They had to abandon the run game, and the Green Bay Packers completely dominated the time of possession, 37 minutes to 23. When your offense is able to eat up the clock like that, you just can wear down and grind defenses, especially in the fourth quarter.
Again, 201-939-4513, hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. We're going to get to your calls in just a hot second. I just want to mention players that are not practicing today. Unfortunately, Robert Ayers is dealing with a hamstring issue, so he's not practicing. Victor Cruz, still dealing with the calf. He is a no-go today. Eric Flowers, dealing with an ankle. He will practice, but I want to say kind of limited individual practice. Jerome Cunningham is dealing with a knee. Jerron Hosley, a concussion. Devon Kennard, a hamstring. Marcus Kuhn, a knee. Trumaine McBride, a groin. And George Selvey is dealing with a calf issue. So the crew's a little banged up today, David.
Yeah, they sure are. But come Sunday night football, they're going to need all hands on deck because, like I said, the San Francisco 49ers may have been inconsistent throughout the first 4 weeks of the season. But you know when you're playing on Sunday night football that every single player in the NFL brings out their best, not only because it's the only game on TV that everybody's watching and all the fans, but you know all of your peers around the NFL. Every other player is watching that game to see who is going to step up in the prime time. So this is going to be a very challenging game, and this is going to be just like any game. This is going to be a four-quarter control the line of scrimmage. More importantly, turnovers in this game are going to be critical in order to see who's going to win this football game.
What you're saying, because now we've been on for 13 minutes now, this is not a walk in the park.
This is one of those scary games.
Even though San Francisco 49ers are 1-3, David Deal will say, don't take this team lightly.
Don't
this
drink is, the Kool-Aid.
This is not don't a walk
drink
in the
No, this is not a walk in the park. Okay. This is one of those ones that you know, number one, how important it is to keep the string of wins going because they've got two now. Three's a streak. But also a division game, NFC game, to get this win, you know it pays dividends down the road when it comes to the playoff picture. You can't let this one slip away at home.
I want to remind you, fans, don't forget that Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com, enter the promo code New York to play for free today. David, let's head out to our phone
line. Let's
lines.
Do it.
201-939-4513. We bring in Joe from Pennsylvania. Joe, welcome.
Hey there. Hi, Anita there. Hi, David. I agree with you, David. I watched the 49ers, and I would not take them lightly, and they really swarmed to the ball. But what I want to talk about is I did hear you announcing the Eagle games, and I seen, you know, you did a very good job. The calls, I have to bring up these referee calls here. They are deciding these games here a lot. It's a few plays every week, they say, in the NFL that decides games, but really, when you start looking at it, these refs are really in your game. I seen a couple calls there at the Eagle game where they were saying leading with the helmet, and really it kept Eagle drives alive and kept them in the game. There was a clear interference on one of their receivers, the Redskins, a non-call. In the Giants game here with Buffalo, all them penalties there was there. Hosley just barely touched his receiver. There was a call. And then you finish up with Seattle, that call there, which was ridiculous. And you go back to the Giants' first game against Dallas where Fields got mugged in the end zone there, and it was a non-call. And then they called a roughing on DRC against one of their receivers. What do you think about all this? And then they have this command center yet to see all this stuff that goes on. You know, they are deciding these games. It is a shame, I think, David.
It really is. And it's all about consistency across the board. You know, that was the big thing last year where they put the huge emphasis on pass interference. I mean, if a defensive back barely nicked a receiver after 5 yards, there was going to be a flag. And that has really changed the way that we've been able to watch football, because every time there's a big third down, instead of the pure enjoyment of converting on it, what's the first thing you do? You look around to see if there's any flags.
Yeah, if there's laundry on the
So field. It's really taken out a lot of the enthusiasm for the game and the way that the game has flowed, because you're like, oh yeah, wait, was there a flag? We can't celebrate just yet. So I think across the board, it's all about consistency, making sure that everybody in regards to the officials are on the same page, that a clear call for one game is a clear call for the next game. And just like players, I hope everyone knows out there, just like players, referees are graded each and every game on their calls or no calls,
right,
just like players. And the referee crews that ref the best, they're the ones that do the playoffs and the Super Bowl. The other ones are the ones that are down at the bottom of the totem pole. And in regards to the instant replay, it is there to get the call right. To get the call right. That game, I still can't believe it wasn't overturned in Seattle.
Let me ask
he clearly you. Knocked it out. The referee and the official was right there for the touchback. That's back-to-back times that game has been called on plays like that.
Let me ask you something, because, you know, these crews, these officiating crews, they travel as a pack. They're a team. And do you – so in covering the NFL as long as I have, you in a number of us do, you know what teams make more calls than others. You know what teams of refs are a little bit more lenient in regard to the physicality of the game than others. Do you pay attention when you were playing? Did you ever ask
every game
who's the officiating crew?
So
you guys had an idea going in. Was this going to be a game that you were going to be called for every little thing, or if this was a game that these guys were going to let you play?
Yeah, you knew all that stuff going into the game. This crew is high on offensive holding. This crew is thrown this many penalties for pass interference. This has thrown so many for roughing the quarterback. You knew that going into a game based upon all the ratings, how many flags they threw, what they threw them for. So you have your mindset going into a game. Okay, they're looking for hands outside. I got to make sure that I don't get any holdings on the backside. If my feet get beat, make sure I go down low or something and get my hands out of there, because they're going to throw it. So you as a player know what referees are going to call. You can set yourself up for it. But once the game starts, you've got to play discipline. It's all playing within the rules and playing within yourself. The time where you have the big penalties is when you're all over the place, you're distracted, and you're going with the flow of the game instead of taking a deep breath and just playing one play at a time.
201-939-4513. Let's go to Dre in Atlanta. Dre, you're up.
Hey, Anita. What's up, Dave? How's everything going? Hey, I want to start off by saying, Anita, I told you in the beginning during the preseason that Philly would have issues once they had to trim down that 100 roster down to 53, and they're not playing up to par as of yet. But I just want to go ahead and let you know that right there. But
yeah, let us know that he was right.
I don't think it's about the trimming of the roster. I think it's about Chip's scheme and the fact that he's went out and he's brought in players that cannot execute his scheme properly, like DeMarco Murray, who is a east and west runner and not a north and south runner. But that's a whole nother, or I should say he's more north and south runner.
Yes. And then east and west. Yep.
I think so. You're right. I'm saying you're right, but I think you're right because Chip went out and he's brought in players that just can't execute his scheme. I don't think it's about the fact that he had to trim his roster down.
Well, I was talking about having Oregon. He was able to rotate them out. You know, it's easy to have fresh players when you have 100, but that's not the reason for the call. My reason for the call is the consistency in the running game. You know, against Buffalo, you know, Rashard had a good run. Andre had a good run, you know, and then we'll go right back to the pass. And against San Francisco, if we have success against the run, you know, both Rashard and Andre are moving back. Are we going to stick with the run? If we get 8 yards on the first one, then we get 6 yards on the second run. Are we going to continue with it so we can save Eli's arm? Or are we going to continue just to keep the balance going? You know, because I believe once you get the running game going, then it opens up the play action. If you go through a series of all run and we're successful, I think we need to stay there for a little bit before we start going to the pass.
I couldn't agree with you more. This team and this offense will function at its best when it is a balanced attack between running the football and passing the football. You knew it was going to be tough sledding going into Buffalo, running up against that stout defense. You've got to give.
Weren't you impressed, though?
I was. You've got to be impressed by the way the offensive line played, but you've got to give a lot of credit to Williams, Vereen, and Jennings, the way they run. They had over 30 yards of all those rushing yards after contact. They ran physical. They hit the holes hard because they knew how important it was for their offense to function. I agree with you. If the Giants can get the run game going, that is where Eli Manning is absolutely dangerous in play action because he gets comfortable. He gets his feet set back there. You can run misdirection, whether it's boot, whether it's a rollout. You can sell out full front side, run nakeds to the backside. That's where your offense is allowed to function in its full. But more importantly, that's where you get your linebackers on the defense to step down to honor the run game. You could start hitting tight ends behind the back. Coverages start getting soft or they have to play eight in the box. It just allows you to open up your playbook and get more players involved because of the influence of the running game and having to honor it.
Isn't it unbelievable that now with this new Ben McAdoo system that obviously is fitting Eli Manning
yes.
and this offensive crew extremely well, that we really haven't seen the best of it yet because now for the past 2 years – this rushing attack has been struggling.
Really? And
I mean,
we haven't.
We haven't seen the vintage Eli Manning in this system in regard to, you know, what the expectation ultimately is because we have not been able to see a solid rushing attack yet.
I know. And
I think it's quite frightening.
It is at some extent because, you would love to rush for 100 yards every single game. But you also have to take into account this is now the fifth straight week and only the fifth straight week where this offensive line has played together in a cohesive group compared to the preseason where you had Schwartz hurt, where you had Pugh moving around because of injuries. Now they're starting to get stable up front. They're getting comfortable with the way that they're working in double teams. Biggest statistic, out of 150 dropbacks for Eli Manning, he's only been pressured 35 of them. That's 23%. That's a lot different than what we all expected.
Absolutely.
Newhouse is playing very well.
Yeah.
He has stepped up.
He took care of Mario Williams.
Schwartz has played a lot better, so the right side of the offensive line has grown together, and it's only going to continue to get better. The only thing that would hurt that is injury, and knock on wood, you don't hope that that happens. But still to this point, throughout the preseason, throughout the regular season, the Giants still have got to do a better job of running the football outside and on the edges, whether it's a pitch, a toss, a sweep. They haven't done a very good job at the point of attack by tight ends, which hurts not having Daniel Fells now and him going on IR, because if they can get the outside running, it forces defensive linemen and linebackers to spread out, which opens more holes inside in the downhill slants and the different zone schemes that you can hit down the middle of the defense.
Question for you before we continue with our calls.
Yes.
Don't forget, Will Beatty will be joining this mix sometime, hopefully the beginning of November, if not by mid-November.
But the good thing is at the rate.
What happens then, Dave?
Well, the good thing is right now, the way the offensive line is playing, you don't have to rush him back. Newhouse is playing well enough as well as the rest of the offensive line that you can take your time with Will compared to in the past of what we thought. We thought it would be a rush and throw him out there. I don't think that's the case right now. I think you let this offensive line play the way that they're playing and then see what happens. In my opinion, I think the last thing that they should do is put him in at left tackle and now move Flowers to the right tackle position, because Flowers is blossoming each and every week. He's making improvements. He's showing his toughness playing through a banged-up ankle, and you have that cohesiveness with him and Justin Pugh on the left side of the offensive line. I wouldn't switch that.
So would you put him on the right tackle position?
That's what I would do.
Okay. 201-939-4513. Let's go to line three. Bob in Texas is joining us on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Welcome.
Hi, Anita. Hi, David.
How are you, Bob?
I'm great. This is my third call. The first two somehow mysteriously the line drops, so I'm going to go fast.
I'll get that guy who did it to you, Bob. We'll get him.
All right. The first is, and this is for all the people that were excoriating Coughlin and McAdoo for throwing passes right at the end of the Bills game. The argument being that the interception, which did happen, was too extreme a risk. Eli had not thrown a pick in 120 snaps, and running backs fumble too. So the idea that a pass in that situation is inherently more dangerous for a turnover is just not borne out by the statistics. You could argue clock management favors the run, but the pass is not dangerous, particularly when the other team wouldn't expect it. Now, that didn't happen, but it's 20/20 hindsight to say that that was a bad call.
Obviously, it's conventional to run the football, control the line of scrimmage, control the time. But at the same time, the Giants have lost games playing conventional football in the fourth quarter. They were playing
Amen,
aggressive,
brother.
And they were going for the win. Unfortunately, it came up with an interception, and it didn't end up costing the Giants the football game, and it was Eli's first interception. I also think that Reuben could have fought for the ball more. I think that he could have fought to knock it down and go after. That ball is in the air. It's almost like rebounding in defense. You fight for the position for the corner, and you fight to either make it the hardest interception he gets or you fight to knock it down.
We need a Chase Blackburn out there jumping for it.
Oh,
good old Chase.
I miss Chase. Thank you for the phone call. Here's some tweets.
Quick second point.
Sure.
We lost the Dallas game because of all kinds of boneheaded plays. We all understand that. But I would like to add, and this is kind of following up on what I believe Joe was saying, the referees stole that game from us. The NFL apologized for the bad calls that, even with the boneheaded play, cost the Giants the win. And I've been watching the Giants play the Cowboys for 40 years or so, and it's somehow this always happens with the Cowboys, not the Eagles, not the Redskins. Cowboys seem to get the calls. So my question is it just me who believes this and I'm addle-brained, or does anybody else seen that happen over the years?
It's hard to say who gets calls when you look at the history of it, but, woulda, shoulda, coulda, when they come back after the game and say, oh, we messed up the call. It doesn't affect the win or loss. It's just them barring and saying that they were wrong on the call. It doesn't change anything.
Right.
I think once, like I said, what we were talking about earlier, it's all about consistency across the board from all crews.
Want to remind you, the Big Blue Kickoff Live brought to you by DraftKings. Now, if you've never played on DraftKings, it's changing the way we play fantasy football. Just pick your contest, pick your winners, and pick your cash. Simple as that. Go to DraftKings.com and to the promo code New York to claim your free entry today. Here's some tweets for you. You can hit us up on Twitter at Giants Chat. Chip Kelly thought he could run his system with players that he wants, but he forgets that this is the NFL, not college. That's from Easy. Do you agree with that? Do you agree as to why the Eagles are struggling right now?
Yeah, you know what? Obviously, right now on the offensive side of the ball, it's about snaps, not about time of possession. But in all these games, they're not getting the quality snaps. They're in the 50s. They're not in the high 80s like they would like to be. And their defense was on the field for over two-thirds of the game on Sunday against the Washington Redskins. It's not a surprise that the Redskins, late in the fourth quarter, were able to drive on the game winner 90 yards against a worn-down defense. In regards to DeMarco Murray and his comment, you're right. It is not college. Yes, he may be comfortable in the system because he ran it at Oklahoma, but the NFL is not college. In the NFL, those holes are open up for a split second, and you've got to get downhill. You've got to hit them at full speed and run through arm tackles. The way that they've been using DeMarco Murray and Ryan Matthews in this system is that they're going across the formation,
right,
lateral, looking for the hole and then trying to cut it up. Well, when you have an offensive line that's banged up that lost two of their starting guards, it's hard to run and do that. And then also, it's hard to get DeMarco Murray full speed when he's used to running downhill in that aggressive system that he ran in Dallas.
The system that they play, actually, believe it or not, suits Darren Sproles.
Darren Sproles is their best player. He's their best player on offense, and he could be their best player on their team because he is so versatile. You can line him up in slot. You can line him up in the backfield. He does things on special teams. he extends their drives and puts their team in positions to win because teams are scared of him. They're scared to kick the ball to him because they know you give him a seam, he can take it to the house.
This is from George. He wants to know, chances we see Devil get more snaps this week.
Very important going into this game that he gets more snaps. Played well in Buffalo, and the continued experience of Double O is only going to make him a better football player. And, you know, his stoutness against the run, his ability now fully healthy, hopefully in third down, to maybe provide some more spark if they put him in, up against the guard. His ability just to get reps and to continue to learn and grow as a player, it's only benefited him. And his confidence. You could see he is playing confident. You see that he believes in the system, and that is all through experience and seeing things firsthand on the field.
Steven, why don't we use Whitlock as the blocking tight end? He can do everything.
He can do everything, but
he's unbelievable, isn't he?
He really is.
And he's so much fun to watch.
He's great, but at the same time, Whitlock as a tight end going up against the defensive end where he doesn't have the speed and the momentum to get his leverage and his power underneath him, I wouldn't put that into the play. Granted, I think we're all excited to see how much he's been doing for this football team and how he's been being able to provide offensively, special teams, defensive side of the ball going in and rushing the passer. It's great to have a player, but you can't ask him to do something that he's not normally doing.
This is from Alan. He wants to know, why are we always struggling to get the ball snapped before the clock hits? Why is that such a major issue for us?
Well, it's a great question. You have to get plays in and plays out in order to get up to the line of scrimmage, and that is definitely something the Giants have got to fix. No more delay games, no more using costly timeouts. The ability to get Eli Manning at the line of scrimmage with time left on the clock is one of his best weapons, because if you give him time, he can pick apart and read things based on his preparation and the way he's able to identify things. I've seen it firsthand.
Well, of course you have.
Yeah.
How long were you his offensive lineman?
10 years.
10 years?
Yep.
Unbelievable, huh? Do you miss it?
You know what? I miss the guys, but I played 11 seasons. I am completely content with the seasons and the career that I had, the players I played with, to accomplish everything that we accomplished as a team individually. I have no regrets to go back to football, not to mention I love what I'm doing now. I'm in the stadium each and every Sunday. I'm still grinding, breaking down film the same way I did as a player.
Fun, right? It's a fun job.
I love it. I love it. And the biggest thing is I wake up on Mondays, I don't feel like I was in a car crash, and I don't have the stress of whether I won or lost the game. That's a big thing.
It does. It does feel like you were in it feels like you were in a car crash for like 2 days too.
Yeah.
Can't sleep, right? Can't sleep. You can't get comfortable. Your neck.
You're cracking, rolling out of bed.
Oh,
it's
the worst.
It's tough.
Is different now, because keep in mind, like, what? How many years was I a part of the Giants media while you were a player? Three
or four?
Right. So do you like – now do you kind of like look at me and look at the media differently now?
No.
No? You're not like –
No, not really. I mean
– you were always easy to approach.
Well, yeah, because I respected the job that you guys had to do by providing the fans the information to write the articles about the game. And that's – fans love football, and there's a reason. So talking to reporters, give them that information – yeah, you've got to talk
What is the one thing that's most surprising for you, switching, being a part of the media now? What's the one thing that you didn't realize we go through, or that we deal with, or that we experience?
Well, I think the biggest thing for me in preparation is studying all three phases, offense, defense, special teams, when, you know, as a former offensive lineman, you were so honed in on the defense.
Right.
Now I'm watching both sides of the ball. I'm watching special teams. I identify and can tell you everything about the roster, about the player, where he's from, what year he is. Like, it's so much
more. Like, you guys, like, people don't realize this. Players don't know other players' names. You guys just know their numbers.
No, certain players do. I always knew players' names, but like, you know where they went to.
David, there are a lot. I'm like, hey, what do you think about so-and-so? Who, what, 42? You talking about 42? There are a lot of players who do not know other players' names. All they know is their numbers.
Well, I would hope that you know the people that you're playing up against, because that's how you study the game. You study not only the defense but personnel. What is this player's strengths? What are this player's weaknesses? And you go through that along the board and along the line. And I do the same thing through what my preparation now. I'm breaking down players. I'm breaking down rosters, how they fit into the systems. You just realize how much work goes into a Sunday broadcast. I think that's the biggest thing. When you're a player, you go out there and you're like, yeah, we got a game. You're in a stadium. But you don't realize how many people are involved in the actual process of making a NFL game on Sunday go.
All right,
from the producers in the truck to everybody on the field, it's a big thing.
This is my last media question for you, and then we'll get back to the calls. What was more time-consuming and more difficult to prepare for, an opponent on Sundays or a broadcast on Sundays?
A broadcast on Sundays.
Wow.
No question. Well, you know, your whole life you've been playing football. This is what you do. This is what you know. But for a broadcast on Sunday, you're live for 3 hours, and fans know if you know the information or not.
Right.
Fans know if you know the statistics or not. We live in a different age than we did before, where everything's at the touch of a button. And so fans know if you're prepared and if you've studied and if you actually have watched the games, because fans are so passionate. So I would say preparing for a broadcast, because going in, I've watched every single game. I've watched the coaches' copies. I've seen the broadcast copies. I've broken down the roster. I've talked to players. I've talked to coaches. It's so much more in-depth than just X's and O's in the chess match out on the football field.
Interesting. 201-939-4513. Let's go to line four. Andrew in New Jersey. Welcome into Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Hey, what's going on? We need more David Deal-type plays, meaning more runs, short yardage runs. Sean O'Hara said the same in the postgame, that it sounds nitpicking, but on some of the third and twos and, you know, third and one, go a second and one, go for another running play. I know the Bills have a stout defense, but I'm going to quickly touch on this. A previous caller said, well, the percentage of throwing a pass at the end of the game. I've just been watching for almost, I would say, like over 30 years, and that was the worst end of a game strategy that I've seen. There's always bad play calls, a single call, but that was by far the worst. First, they throw a deep ball to Beckham. They did run the ball. Rashad Jennings didn't run out of bounds, and I would have him bench to start next game. For him not to fall down is, you know, he's a veteran, he should know better. But if they ran the ball, because people say, well, they weren't aggressive and they played it safe and they lost. No, the game is won. If you kick a field goal, if they get that first down from the penalty, the Bills got a penalty, so they're first and goal. Three running plays, or Eli, they were laughing. I said, take a knee three times. The other team has to use a timeout to chip shot short field goal. They would have to score two touchdowns, yeah, a field goal, recover three onside kicks all within 2 minutes, and no timeout. So it's like almost a mathematical impossibility. So I was furious, but Coughlin was nice. He was, you know, he took the blame and he seemed, you know, disappointed. But I wanted to ask you guys about the injury status, and I'll listen off air. Beattie you talked about, but also Cruz and Robert Ayers. How, if Robert Ayers could come back at 100%, that'll be great. And Anita, like Shakes like to say, has to eat a little crow, because the defense is definitely better, I think, than anyone thought it would be. It's not great, but it's definitely solid defense. And thanks for taking the call. I'll listen off air.
I think, well, a few things. Number one, Robert Ayers, his hamstring issue, he is not practicing today. Victor Cruz dealing with a calf, he is not practicing today. Hopefully there is a chance that both these guys may be available against the San Francisco 49ers. Who knows? Fingers crossed that they are. And Will Beattie, I think, again, that timetable, last I checked, was kind of sometime in November.
3 weeks, yeah, 3 weeks away.
So hopefully, you know, it'll be interesting to see how they integrate him into this offensive line. In regard to eating crow, listen, I've said this. I really hope that Spags got a game ball at the end of the game. It's amazing to me what Spags is working with, and how great this defense is playing, and how they were able to really contain. I mean, Carlos Williams is a really good running back. And I mean, I think they just did a really, really phenomenal job. And I think a lot of credit has to be given to Spags right now. Again, I don't know who got the game ball, but I would hope he did.
You know, one of the biggest things that everybody from the time that he got here in 07 with all the defensive players and we had all the success and up until now, the biggest thing you hear the defensive players say is he makes the best in-game adjustments. You may break down film. You may have watched everything that you could possibly watch under the sun up against an opponent. But each week, they're going to bring a different dimension, or you could say flavor of the day or whatever you want to call it. They're going to bring something different that they haven't shown that they feel that they can use against you. He is able to find a way to make the adjustments on the sidelines and put his defense in a position to succeed, but to do it where he's still using their strengths. That's the biggest thing that Steve Spagnuolo is able to do, is to make those in-game adjustments, whether it's in the first quarter or halftime in the second half. He's able to change the outcome of games based on him dictating the defense and putting his team in the position to succeed. Last year, I think that was a big part of the struggles, were adapting and changing inside the game when you're going up against something that you haven't seen before. His experience, not only in a 4-3 defense, but in a 3-4 defense, and all the experiences through have allowed him the understanding and knowledge of what he can do with that team and to put his pieces in the right place.
And I think that's one of the biggest criticisms about Perry Fuel last year from the players was not adjusting at the half, not making those changes. And then when Spags came here, my tenure here covering this organization, I started when Spags left. So, and that's the one thing that I heard about Spags was the fact that he's one of the best in regard to making those changes at the half. 201-939-4513. We'll be continuing taking your calls in just a second. I just want to point out the NFC East. So now you've got Dallas, the Giants, and the Redskins all sitting at 2-2.
Yep.
And the Eagles sitting at 1-3. Looking at this week, you have the Eagles at home. They're taking on the New Orleans Saints, which, by the way, Drew Brees looked a little better.
A little better. Right? He wasn't his full self.
And I don't think he will be.
I mean, especially when you're a quarterback dealing with a rotator cuff.
Right. I don't think he will be all season. But I think this is going to be a really interesting game for Philadelphia. Because I think this is going to be a crucial game, I think, in regard to their season moving forward, and that is, you know, is this the game that the offense finally clicks?
Yep.
I don't know if it is or not. And then, of course, you have Dallas at home against Tom Brady and the Patriots. And Dallas gets Greg Hardy and Rolando McClain back.
Yep, after suspension, after sitting out there four games.
I'm excited to see that little Greg Hardy coming after Tommy Boy.
Well, you know, he's going to be excited about that one, and you've got to give the Patriots a lot of credit. They've used the us against the world mentality, and they're going out and playing sound football for four quarters, looking to embarrass people because of everything that happened with Deflategate. They're on a mission to prove people wrong and prove who they are as a football team.
Washington is at Atlanta.
That's going to be a huge game.
How about Atlanta? My goodness, Devontae Freeman has just been absolutely 6 touchdowns in 2 games. That's just simply remarkable.
Wasted movement for Devontae Freeman. He gets downhill faster than anybody in the league. Straight downhill, follows his blockers, and then after he gets through the O-line, his burst, his toughness, his shakiness ability, he's been phenomenal.
The past 2 weeks have been sensational. So, in Washington, good against the run. So this is going to be interesting. Julio Jones, as we know, Matty Ice, Roddy White apparently has come out and said that he wants more touches.
Yep.
He wants to be paid a little bit.
The Georgia Dome is back to being the Georgia Dome and a hostile place to play.
And Dan Quinn, the way that he has this defense playing football.
It's like two ends of the spectrum, watching them last year and watching them this year with a lot of the same personnel. It's amazing. It's just a confidence and a belief in – you see the Seattle-esque in this defense, swarming to the football, defensive linemen and defensive ends retracing and getting back, making hits from behind. They just are playing with a lot of confidence and belief in themselves, and it's coming from their head coach.
You know, it's interesting. I'm a strong believer that, like, everything happens for a reason. Mm-hmm. One door shuts, another window opens. Like, I really do believe that we're destined for things.
Yeah.
So Rex Ryan more than likely was going to be the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons, the owner of the Atlanta Falcons. His name escapes me right now.
Blank?
Yeah, Arthur Blank.
Yep.
His mother had passed away. So it didn't happen fast enough for Rex, and apparently he got a little nervous, and so he jumped to Buffalo.
He fits in Buffalo better than Atlanta anyways.
But from what I understand, Blank really wanted him.
Yeah.
So and
a lot of people said, why wouldn't Rex Ryan go there when it would be the sure time where he could have a quarterback?
Exactly.
Yeah, we've heard it all. It didn't end up working.
He ends up going to Buffalo, and I think it's working out for Rex
too.
In Buffalo.
I think the
Giants were a hiccup for them. I think it was a tough matchup, but I think it's working out for him. And then now Dan Quinn ends up in Atlanta, and I think that's a great fit for Atlanta. So, again, I share that story to say I really do believe everything happens for a reason
in
life.
To go along with Rex Ryan, I think that one of the biggest factors of the change in Buffalo has been the hiring of Greg Roman and the way that he's been running this offense with Tyrod Taylor.
Yep.
He's taken it to the next level, and you could see his development of all the different things he did with Colin Kaepernick showing right now through Tyrod Taylor and the way that he's been playing.
All right, let's continue with our calls, 201-939-4513. We go to Derek in Atlanta. Derek.
Derek.
Welcome in.
Hey, Dave and Anita. I got a couple comments and a question for you each. I'll try to talk fast. Okay, so timeouts, delay of games after timeouts and breaks of action seems really egregious. And they had
no excuse. No excuse whatsoever.
Reuben Randall, I watched him run two square ends. One was intercepted. The first one got knocked down, broken up, but he's drifting upfield. He needs to correct that. He needs to come straight across instead of bending upfield.
Yep.
Okay. And then I wanted to say another comment is that the NFL is going to gross $9 billion this year, and Goodell says he wants the NFL to make $25 billion by 2027. It's time to hire full-time referees and not have them so they can understand the playbook and not make these mistakes, because getting a letter in the mail the next day is just not sufficient.
Doesn't change anything.
And then,
it doesn't change the outcome of the game.
Exactly. I wanted to ask you, David, I play Madden, and I think a quarterback it should have a PhD, because I played quite a bit, and the number of plays, I wanted to ask you, how do you learn an NFL playbook? I mean, there's so many plays. I play Madden all the time, and I can't get all the plays, down. So I just want to know, is it a secret? Do you just have to know part of the formation and just know what your job is? Or, because obviously you can't know every one of those plays in the playbook. And then and then you can answer offline. And Anita, I got a trade scenario for you.
Okay.
Okay. I'm 3-0.
Good for
PPR.
You.
I had Tony Romo and Jameis Winston as my quarterbacks because I took them really late. I got Devontae Freeman. I got a trade offer right now for Andy Dalton and Jeremy Hill for Devontae Freeman. And I'll listen to your answer.
No.
No way.
Uh-uh.
No way.
Did you just hear what David said about this cat? Uh-uh.
No
way. Do not give him up. Do not. No.
I wouldn't give him up. They're going to lean on that all year to have that offense function. I would not trade that. And everybody, we all know Andy Dalton has always been Mr. September. He always comes out firing and having hard. I would not make that trade, because you know that Atlanta, throughout all this stuff with Julio Jones, with Matt Ryan, they are still going to rely on the run to control the line of scrimmage.
Hopefully we helped you out. I will say this about Andy Dalton. Hugh Jackson, offensive coordinator, spent a lot of time with him in this offseason and said, listen, you need to step it up mentally. Mm-hmm. You need to prepare better. You need to be the first one in here. You need to be the last one to leave. You need to put in the work.
Yeah.
You need to work harder. And sure enough, he did, and now he's seeing the results.
It is. It's
don't get me wrong. I love Andy Dalton as a fantasy football quarterback.
I do too. I mean, who
could? I do. you know, and I think the numbers will continue, but I think it's really important just to mention, like, you know, this is a young man who put a lot of work in the off season because his offensive coordinator told him, listen, you just got paid. You want respect in that locker room. You want respect around the NFL. You need to put the work in, sir.
You need to punch the clock and come to work.
Yep.
You can't be one of those guys as a quarterback that the minute that the doors open, you're flying out of there. You've got to be the first one in, the last one to leave. And the biggest factor of not only why preparation-wise is you set the tempo and you set the direction to the rest of the football team based on your preparation. If a young guy sees the starting quarterback leave early from meetings or walk out of the building, he thinks it's okay for him to do it. Plain and simple. I've never seen Eli Manning once do that. And that's a reason why he always has the utmost respect from everybody in the locker room, because everybody knows what Eli puts in each day, week in and week out.
201-939-4513. We go to Christian calling in from Virginia. Christian, welcome into Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Hey, Anita. Hey, David. How are you guys doing?
Excellent, Christian. How are you, buddy?
Good, man. I want to go with something you opened the show with, which is a very interesting point to me. I think I've seen it before with Coughlin coach teams that you played on, David. We had 10 days last week to hear about the defensive line of the Bills, of Tyrod Taylor, 74%, the big plays, how much improved they were, how ferocious they were. And, you know, it looked like we responded, which I've seen that from Coughlin before. And I'm interested, we opened this week 7-point favorites at home against a struggling San Francisco team. When you played, was that more to fight off that complacency after a big win on the road? Was that more something that Coughlin delivered to you guys, or was that more something that the leaders in the locker room took care of?
Granted, Coach.
Did Coughlin come to you and saw that, or did you guys police that yourselves?
Oh, yeah, Coach Coughlin does a great job at that. Yeah, he'll point out the positives, but you guys think that you're good, and he'll put on the negatives. He'll show you each and every play of where it could have been a bigger play, where it could have been a change of an outcome of the game, and where it could be a game-changing play in the other direction. But the biggest factor, it has got to come from the leadership of the locker room. This week they have got to bring up the intensity from the preparation from last week to this week. Because last week's, yeah, it gives you confidence, but it doesn't give you anything to win this football game on Sunday. It's all based on the way that you prepare throughout the week and ratchet up and improve each and every week. So, like I said, this isn't a game where you could sit here and say, well, they're struggling. This is a tough football team where Jim Tomsula is not going to let them come in without having the best preparation that they could possibly have, thinking, hey, this team just won in Buffalo. They don't think you're good. They don't think you're anything.
Yep.
Coaches know how to twist and turn.
Hear about how great we were.
Yep. Coaches know how to twist that stuff. But more importantly, like I said, Christian, it has got to come from your veterans in the locker room to make sure that everybody's preparing harder than they did the week before so that this team can go where it wants to be.
Now, given that, who do you point to as our leaders? I mean, you have to go Beeson. Obviously, you go Eli. But more importantly, offensive line-wise, you feel Justin Pugh's development?
Without a doubt.
Yeah, I do. I feel the same way.
He's from the minute that this season started and throughout the preseason, he's come in with a chip on his shoulder, being the leader of that group, setting the tempo by the way that he worked. And, you know, I helped groom him. When he was drafted, I did everything with him. The minute that he got drafted, I called him. I started working with him. He sat next to me in the meeting rooms, and I taught him the ins and outs of what it takes to be a professional and how to study as an offensive lineman. He's taken that to the next level and taken it on his own, and he's become the leader of that group. Rashad Jennings, you've got to talk about him as a leader, doing what he did last week, stepping in on special teams, blocking a punt. When things are needed from your team, when there needs to be a big momentum play, who's going to step up and do it? He did it this week with that big catch, the run down the sidelines, trucking over somebody. You saw the Giants' sidelines absolutely erupt. So when you have players that do that, it's no coincidence that they're the same guys in the locker room talking to people, making sure that everybody's playing and practicing as hard as they do, because you know it transfers over to how you play on Sunday. Because if you're going full speed during practice and then all of a sudden you see it on the field, that same thing, it's almost like it's in slow motion because you can see it coming. And instead of, you're just reacting and not thinking about it.
Right. And I have one more question for you, David. I'll take the rest off the air. Appreciate your guys' time. A lot of praise has been given to the offensive line this year. A lot of it's been, you know, we came in, a lot of people had question marks, specifically Newhouse and how Schwartz is going to bounce back. We had a rookie left tackle. You played primarily under Gilbride, which I know was more of a power running game, a lot of play action, a lot more seven steps, and get the ball down the field. I just want to know kind of like a percentage, how much credit do you give the offensive line, which I know that they've earned and they deserved. But then another thing I've seen in the last couple games is I feel like Eli's really getting this offense and really understands the offense, especially in the first half against Buffalo. Did an awesome job diagnosing all the coverages,
Pre-snap, all the blitzes, and got rid of the ball. Yeah.
Like, how much do you give Eli Manning credit as opposed, not as opposed, but how much is he helping his own sack numbers stay down? I'll take the calls off the air.
No problem.
And, David, I appreciate the story about you grooming Justin Pugh and about your appreciation for the fans that you mentioned with Anita earlier.
Thank you.
As a lifelong Giants fan, just nothing but respect for you, man. And I wish nothing to you but the best to you in your career, man.
Appreciate it. Thanks for the phone call. And to go back to that, I mean, those two things go hand in hand. Yes, it's great for Eli to get rid of the ball quick because that's when he's at his best, when he's pre-snap reading things. He's able to diagnose and get rid of the football quickly.
Coming in, that was one of the things Jeff Schwartz told me was that because I said to him last year, before I even saw a glimpse of how this offense was going to work, Jeff Schwartz said, relax, it's going to be okay because this offense is all about quick reads and Eli's going to get the ball out of his hands before anyone, regardless of how well we do, Eli's going to get the ball out of his hands quicker than anyone can get to
him. It's tempo, it's flow, it's all that stuff.
That is a characteristic of this offense.
Yes, it is. Yeah. But the great thing is they play hand in hand. Obviously, the run game helps everything out. Once you get the run game going, it establishes play action, taking shots downfield. But being in this system where the ball is getting rid of and out, or Eli's getting rid of it, and it's out of his hands so quickly, as an offensive line, it allows you to be aggressive. It allows you, instead of sitting back the entire time, it allows you to jump set on people, you know, get full zones in when you run boots or nakeds. It just allows you to be more aggressive than it does in their basic three-step, five-step, seven-step drop system where the quarterback's dropping back from under center of all that stuff. This just allows you to be more aggressive and attack a defensive end or a defensive lineman instead of sitting back because you know that ball's getting out quickly. You know Eli's making quick reads. So as much as you want to put it on Eli, which he deserves a ton of credit, because he does put the offense in great positions to win, checking at the line of scrimmage and identifying everything. But at the same time, you have to do your job up front. And the statistic that I gave earlier, out of 150 dropbacks, Eli's only been pressured 20 or 35 times. That's 23%. So if you can put a quarterback in the pocket only getting pressured 23%, I don't care who you have back there. They're going to be able to do good things.
Okay, really quick. Two tweets and two calls I want to throw at you. This is from Joe. Anyone know how bad Kennard is, and is he practicing? Whitlock and Kennard are our best pass rushers. Kennard is not practicing today. He's dealing with a hamstring issue. Fingers crossed.
They need him.
Yes, they do. And thoughts on Whitlock really quick?
Whitlock, it provides that extra spark. He's a natural leverage guy. Spin moves, you name it. He does everything
up front.
He runs
stunt.
And he comes in and provides that spark at a time where he has so much energy. And he does it in a time where offensive linemen, they're looking like they're worn down.
This is from Will. Saw some tape on the 49ers. They do a lot of press and wide nine on passing downs.
Yep.
As long as they beat press, they should win.
No question. They do play a lot of press. They put their corners on one-on-one matchups. They feel like they can get outside with the wide nines of Lynch and Ahmad Brooks outside to pressure. But that's where screen game and draw game plays into it. If you have these wide nines ripping up field, it opens up those natural creases and running lanes for the draw and for screens to open up, because as an offensive tackle, you can wash that defensive end up field, and it opens up a huge lane for a screen.
So possibly a big game for
Possibly a big game for Vereen, yes.
All right, two calls. Got to make it quick. Mark in Maryland, you're up first.
Man, you guys killing me. Hey, Anita. Hey, David.
Hi.
Hey, my question is going to be Victor Cruz, and I think that, you know, we should just shut him down, let him heal, and because I'm not too, like,
Mark,
I'm not, as far as the receiver core, Harris stepped up the last game. You know, these short yardage that everybody else is getting 2 yards, 3 yards, a total of 38 and 20 yards are still not convinced that the Giants still have a good receiving core. I know that Harris stepped up, so, I mean, that's just how I feel.
Well, okay. Coach Coughlin said it 2 weeks ago. They needed Reuben Randall to step up. He stepped up. Last week they needed Dwayne Harris to step up.
He stepped up.
But more importantly, now it's all of them playing well together at the same time.
Because Reuben Randall didn't start, he didn't get that much yardage, though.
No,
he
know.
Didn't get that much yardage. He stepped up by getting getting that one catch. That's not stepping up. I'm talking about being consistently.
Did you hear where I was going? Did you let me finish?
Mark, thanks for the phone call.
I was saying now it's about consistently all three playing together well, because you can't have one up, one down. They've all got to be playing at the same level, because that's the only way that it's going to open up the passing game for each and every one of them. If one's playing up, the other one's playing down, it's a wash. Everybody's got to be playing at the highest level. So now you're hoping that Dwayne Harris and Reuben Randall can provide that spark consistently, because they've got to get Odell Beckham Jr. more than just five catches. I know he was targeted 12 times, but he still has to get more. I don't care. You got to give him the ball. Put him in different positions.
12 targets.
That's fine. Put him in different positions. Put him in the backfield. Put him in slot.
But you saw what was happening.
I know.
They had Gilmore on him, and they cheated a safety.
I don't care.
I've been saying this. This is the type of respect
I understand.
That he's going to get every week.
I understand the respect factor.
But when you want to be
one of the best receivers in the league, it doesn't matter what they put on. You still make plays, plain and simple.
And just to comment on Victor Cruz, they have shut him down. What do you mean we need to
shut him down?
They have shut him down, but it's a long season. I mean, listen, if he could play week 8, week 9, great. But the Giants have shut him down. There's no, like, I think we should. Yeah, he has been shut down. Last call, let's end it strong. Jason in California, got to make it quick, Jay. What's up?
How you doing? I'm going to make it real quick. Are they still going to give Unga more touches so he can get experience? And the last thing I wanted to say was a couple of weeks ago I called about Eli and training with the baseball trainer to get his arm strong. I really think we saw that in those two touchdowns. He swung that ball in there so hard they called it and made those touchdowns, both Randall and Harrison.
Thank you for the call.
Great stuff. I mean, he answered our questions for us. I think in regard to Unga, the more experience he gets, the better off he's going to be. And, you know, at that one mesh point 2 weeks ago against the Redskins, I liked the balance that they had between Beeson and Unga. But at the same time, it's still great to have John Beeson in there more with his veteran leadership and his ability to diagnose things pre-snap to help out that defense.
Hey, again, quick reminder, this segment, Big Blue Kickoff Live, I should say really the show.
DraftKings.
It's been an hour. I'll let you do it.
And fans, don't forget that Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com and enter promo code New York to play for free
just like
today.
That. Good job. Stay tuned to Giants.com. Players, of course, after they practice today, will be made available to the media. Those interviews will be posted on Giants.com. And also Big Blue Kickoff Live tomorrow is Paul Dottino and Howard Cross. So we will see you then. Have a great day, everybody.
Have a great one.
Oh, here we go, here we go. Here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go, let's go.
down the middle of the field. He's got through. 35-30.
Rosen intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants!